I bring you greetings in Jesus' name this morning from North Dakota. Usually North Dakota is the forgotten state because everybody thinks of South Dakota, but there is a North Dakota for those of you who, now you all know that. Somebody thought the ND on the program after my name stood for something with Notre Dame, but no. For sure not. Anyway, so lots of years ago, my wife was a kindergarten teacher for your school, and so I would come around here and there and be parts of those events, and never dreamt that I would be up front here preaching a message to you guys. So God works in mysterious ways, but he has been faithful, and I trust him to give me strength for that. And it is a privilege to preach the gospel of Jesus. So that's, and it's a privilege for all of us, all of you, to, we're all preachers in a way. We are here to spread the gospel of Jesus. So it's an awesome responsibility. Speaking of students, I wonder if all the students that Krista taught in kindergarten, would you stand up? I'd just like to see. And then my wife can look around too. All right, so there's a few here. Way to go. You survived. She taught way more than that, so I don't know what about the rest of them. But all right, so my subject I've chosen to talk about this morning is taken from Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I'll just read that verse, and then I'll tell you kind of where I'm going with it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek." So I've titled my message this morning, "The Power of the Unchanging Gospel." We talk about change quite a bit, and I'm going to talk about change a little bit. We live in a world that is changing minute by minute. And the last couple of years, we'd probably say that it has changed maybe more than we've seen it in years before that. And some of those changes, we would say this morning, are probably for the worse. Like, we see a lot of, we focus maybe more on the changes that are bad. I'm sure there's good changes as well, but especially the last couple of years, we focus some on the changes that we see that aren't so good for us as a country. But change is a part of our life. We do change, and it's okay. God has it under control, and God has it planned that way. We go through changes in our lives, each one of us does. I want to look at one of the changes that has happened in most of our lifetime, and that is the telephone. The telephone has changed a lot in the last 50, 100 years, I guess. How many of you have ever sent a telegram? I'm going to look right in this section down here, or right here. Have you sent a telegram? Okay. So maybe that's beyond our, or back behind most of our ages. But a lot of you probably have used the party line phone. That's before my age, but most of you had, I mean, some of you had party line. Okay. And so that dates us some. But so technology was, yeah, with the telegram, that was quite something. And then you had the party line, and then you had, I remember the phone where you, the rotary dial thing, where you did that number, and it took a while to dial a long distance number, but it was fantastic. And then they came out with just a push button phone where you could just push the buttons instead of the rotary. Well, that was better yet. And then you had a cordless phone where you could walk around inside the house with no cords. And that was amazing. Technology was advancing. And then, I don't know if this is all, I'm probably forgetting some, and then you had the first cell phones that I call them the bag phone, where it was a big old contraption. But anyway, you could take it out and about with you in your car, truck, whatever. And that was pretty sweet. That was amazing. And then all types of different phones, you had to pull out the antenna before you talked, and then you had the little flip phones, and then you have all types of smartphones, and amazing technology that has changed just in the last, 75 whatever years, however far back we went there. And now you can talk to people and see them at the same time, see them talking to you. And so technology has come so far just in that example, just in the phone. So good changes, mostly, probably, we would say, as far as the phone. Definitely handy. We depend on our phones a lot, probably too much. So a useful tool. Our smartphones are useful tools, but they are dangerous. And so we look at how the progression of just that, of just the phone. I don't look at the Telegram as being too dangerous. Maybe some people did when it came out. They thought this can't be. But it has morphed into something that is still very useful, very handy. I use my phone a lot to study with. It's very handy to look up different subjects, different verses that you can just get a little tidbit of the verse and it'll find it basically for you. Saves a lot of time. But along with that changing technology, I think the devil has got his hands in there and has put a lot of danger in there as well. So we have to be really careful with that type of, with those changes. But that's just one example of change. So yeah, technology has kind of revolutionized the way we live life. There's, in a lot of your work, technology has made things amazingly easy or a lot more simple. You don't have to put near the physical labor into it that we used to. We farm up in North Dakota, or there is a lot of farming. I don't farm as much anymore myself, but technology has made it pretty sweet. You can just sit out in the tractor and it'll guide itself and you turn it around at the end and then read a book on the way back to the other end. And so it's just made it, it's changed so much and made it very handy. And it does continue to advance. Technology continues to change and even faster than I even know, I'm sure. But with all the technology that we have, it still has not solved the problem that is faced by each one of us, and that is that we are born sinners and we are lost. And all the technology there is cannot change that. But the solution has never changed. The solution is still the same that it has been for, over 2,000 years now, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has not changed forever either, and it will never change. So we just need to allow Jesus Christ into our lives, and he can change us. He can change us for the better. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we have a part to do in that. The gospel of Jesus never loses its power. It has the same power back when he was on earth, has the same power today. We can count on it. A verse from Matthew 24:35. I will turn to quick. It says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So the gospel of Jesus, his words means the same today. It'll mean the same in 1,000 years. It meant the same 1,000 years ago. It's going to be the same. It is solid. It is the cornerstone of our faith. And so in this changing world, this world is changing all the time. We have the unchanging gospel of Jesus, and that's the subject this morning. It's the same gospel that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, where 3,000 souls were added. And it's the same gospel that Paul and Silas shared with the Philippian jailer that night. And the jailer and some of his family were baptized. And it changed them. It changed them. And so it can change us. So religions, they change. They morph into different things. Churches change. customs change, preachers change, diseases change, viruses change, sad to say. Even young people, what's cool now, it's going to change too. And so there is lots of changes. Seasons change. Depending where I preach that, the seasons don't always change. But North Dakota, they do, and here they do too. You got the four seasons pretty much. Quinn and Micah found out that their age changes earlier this week. So in case you forgot, you can wish them a happy birthday. But the gospel of Jesus, it never, never changes. And so we can bank on that. I have a song that's meant a lot to me that I like to listen to. So I will read it to you. The title of it is just simply Still. They say times are changing, so we should change too. Trade our old-time religion for something new. Our faith is outdated. Why live in the past? Well, my answer is simple, so if you ask, I still love to hear how God's love paid the cost as passion was fastened by nails to a cross. I still love the sound as the saints start to sing songs of the blood Jesus shed just for me. I still love an altar where broken ones pray and find what is found in no other way. It may be old-fashioned, but it's real still. So I'll stay on the old path that brought us this far, that saved countless millions and reached hardened hearts. And though times are changing and forever will, there's still only one Savior, one Calvary's hill. I still love to hear how God's love paid the cost as passion was fastened by nails to a cross. I still love the sound as the saints start to sing songs of the blood Jesus shed just for me. I still love an altar where broken ones pray and find what is found in no other way. It may be old-fashioned, but it's real still. So those are pretty awesome words. It's just, it never gets old, never loses its power, still the same. So Jesus, when he was on earth here, he went about the earth doing a lot of miracles, a lot of teaching, a lot of healing, casting out of devils and demons, giving sight to the blind. His ministry was healing people, healing their hearts. And that's still what he's doing today. He's not physically here on earth, but he is here. He can live in our hearts, and he is still healing people. He's still a great miracle worker. Then and now, he can save you. He can heal you. He can cleanse us. He can give us a better life, but we have to allow him to do that. And when I say a better life, sometimes we think, well, if we're Christians, we should be able to improve our pocketbooks or something like that. Doesn't necessarily mean that. When God gives us a better life, it's not always physically better. Sometimes people, when they become Christians, it means death. It means physical death to them. And so there's that aspect of it. But gives us a better life because God's people are happy people. God's people are joyful. We have the joy of the Lord living inside of us. And so when we have Jesus in us, then our outlook on life changes. And so that makes our life better. So Jesus never changes. The gospel never changes. What about us? Do we change? We are like Christ, Christians, and that means little Christ or like Christ. We probably do sometimes. Maybe not always for the better. Hopefully it is for the better, but sometimes we change because culture changes. And if we follow cultural changes or what culture is doing around us, then the changes are probably not real good, because we're basing our changes on that, and we want to, a lot of times it's because I want to fit in a little bit more, or I don't want to be quite so different. I don't want to stick out quite as much as Christ would want me to. And so I think we do need to be careful on how much we change, because if we are continuously changing with the times and trying to keep up with culture, then Or maybe even finding that next greatest, the next greatest gospel that comes down. There's always a, it seems like there's always a different gospel that's coming down the line, or that we hear about, and some of those can encourage us to a certain point. But the gospel of Jesus is the same today as it always has been, and so we have to be careful about those changes or the things that we look for. Because a lot of times we can lose some credibility as Christians, I think, if we're continuously changing, trying to keep up with the latest and the greatest. And so by no means am I saying that change is wrong. If we are changing to become better Christians, that's absolutely 100% what I'm talking about. If we have sin in our life, obviously we need to change. We need to allow Jesus to change us. That's a good change. There's a little chorus that we know at home. It goes something like, from glory to glory, he's changing me, his likeness and image to perfect in me. And that's the kind of change that we as Christians, we want to be like Christ. We want his image to be in us, to come. We want people to see Christ in us. So the power of the gospel there in Romans 1:16, let's look at that just a little bit. Paul talks about not being ashamed of that gospel. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So when we are faithful to Christ, there is a pretty good chance probably that at some point you will be shamed for the gospel. More than likely, Jesus warns us of that. And so it's nothing. We can be shamed, but we don't need to be ashamed of Jesus. Hebrews 12:2, I'll just give you it talks about how Jesus endured the cross because he looked further ahead. He looked to the joy that was set before him. He didn't look at the circumstances that were right around him at the time. It was horrible. His death and what they did to him at his death, at his crucifixion, was the worst that there can be. But he didn't let that get him down. He looked to the joy that was set before him and endured the cross. And that's an example that we can take too. Whatever shame comes on us, whatever we feel, if we feel persecuted sometimes, let's look beyond that. It's easy to look at that moment and feel kind of sorry for ourselves, but we don't have to, because Jesus has the perfect example. He looked beyond what he was suffering in the moment and look to the joy, the triumph that he would have over sin. The assured triumph of his death and resurrection to save sinners kept him from being ashamed. He focused on what was ahead. So Paul's kind of saying the same thing here, I think. He is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He's not ashamed that Jesus died for our sins, that he rose again, and that he has the power to save us. There's nothing to be ashamed about in that. And he was preaching that gospel. And Paul is also looking forward to that joy, that salvation. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So salvation here, I'll get into that a little bit later, but it brings us to repentance, but it also brings us further on into salvation with Christ, brings us into a life of eternity, a life, if we are faithful, it brings us into eternity in heaven with him. Verse from 1 Corinthians 1. Sometimes we can be tempted to water down the gospel, the unchanging gospel of Christ, because we don't want it to be too offensive, or we don't want it to hurt someone. We want to make it a little bit easy because, or make it, try to make it somewhat popular. But I'll read this verse. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So let's not be ashamed. Let's not water it down. Let's not try to make it a popular thing. But rather, let's say it for what it is, and it gives victory to those who want, something different, to those who want to give up of themselves, basically. It is a powerful gospel, and it will be victorious in the end. We don't need to be ashamed of it. Just like Paul was not ashamed, we don't need to be ashamed. And it is the gospel alone and Jesus' blood that will bring sinners to repentance. It's nothing that we can do. We can tell people about it and plant the seeds, but it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that will bring them to repentance. And the neat part about it, there's a lot of religions out there today that can convert people to their way, and a lot of religions do that, but there's only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can actually save those people and can actually bring them to Jesus. It's the only gospel that can bring that. We're separated from a holy God as sinners, but we can be part of his family. We can come before God with hope, as long as we repent, and is the only gospel that can do that. All the other gospels will not save us from sin. It alone is the power of God unto salvation. So this salvation that this gospel brings so powerfully, yes, it wins converts. It brings us to Christ. When we think of salvation, a lot of times we think of that first experience of Jesus coming into our hearts. That is salvation. And so that is true, but it seems like maybe in this verse he is talking about maybe more than just that initial experience. I think it includes that, but it also is that final triumph, that time where we can live eternally and safely in the presence of God. The final triumph of the gospel. It has the power to take us from that initial experience to live victoriously for Jesus and to bring us into his presence with eternal joy. So there's about three reasons that I've kind of gathered for thinking that salvation doesn't just mean the initial experience but means something further. It says we don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. The power of the gospel is what frees us from being ashamed. It's the only gospel that really provides a solution to that shame problem. If we don't have the gospel of Jesus, we as sinners are ashamed before a holy God. It's just the way it is. And so it is the gospel that provides a solution to that shame problem. Seems like Paul here is saying, yeah, you don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it doesn't just convert us, doesn't just do that, but it saves us and brings us salvation and allows us the opportunity to live with Christ forever in heaven. It's the only truth in the world that can save us from sin, the only truth that can save us from sin. There's a couple of instances where salvation is used as a future thing. I'll read a verse in 1 Peter 1:5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." In that verse, salvation is used as a future thing. And then Romans 13:11. Says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." So in this verse, salvation is coming, but it's not here. quite yet. And so that's looking at salvation as a future thing there as well. And then the third reason is it is an ongoing belief. It says, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. And I think the Greek word in here would mean like believing, a present. It's an ongoing action for everyone who is believing. And so it's a condition for salvation. It's not just the first act of faith. It's not just conversion, but also an ongoing belief. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. I'll read those. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So what I'd like to focus on there is holding fast. Continue on believing. Hold fast to that gospel. Hold fast to that unchanging gospel. Because if we don't persevere, if we give up after conversion, if we don't persevere, then it's an empty faith. It's a vain, James 2 would say it's a dead faith. And so we want to persevere. We hold fast to that gospel which saved us. So all the other gospels that are out there, they will, in the end, they will fail you. There's lots of religions, gospels, whatever you want to call it. And they can win converts, but in the end, they will fail. Only one gospel will save us from the wrath of God and allow us to enter into his presence, allow us to enter in to his presence where there is fullness of joy, pleasures at his right hand forevermore. Verses from Psalm 16:11. So we don't need to be ashamed of a gospel that has that type of power, that has the ability to take us and allow us to live in his presence. And so how eager are we to share that gospel? And I think that's a challenge. It's a challenge for me, and it's a challenge to you. We have the most powerful message that there is, and we should be so eager to speak that gospel to a dying world. It's a world that needs this gospel. So the gospel gives us power over temptation, whatever it is. There's verses that say that there's no temptation that you can't overcome through the blood of Jesus, through Jesus living in you. So the gospel gives us power over temptation, and we can triumph over every obstacle, whatever it is, whether it's a torn Achilles tendon, we can triumph over that too. Whatever you have that you're struggling with, there is victory over that. We just have to place our trust, place our faith in Jesus Christ. So whatever it costs, stand on it. Hold it fast, believe on it, feed on it, savor it, and count it more precious than silver or gold. The gospel of Jesus Christ is more precious than silver or gold. And only the unchanging gospel of Jesus Christ has the power to save us and to bring us before a holy God that has no sin, and we can come before him without spot, and we can be considered blameless. So praise the Lord for him and for that gospel that he has given us. Let's stand for prayer. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for that wonderful gospel that you have given to us, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we are so thankful for that. Help us to be bold to share that gospel. We are your hands, we are your feet, we are your mouthpiece, Lord. So let's share that gospel because, like Paul said, we have nothing to be ashamed of because it is powerful. And so let's spread that throughout our week this week and throughout our lives, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you, Lord. I pray for the church here at Woodlawn. I pray that they would be a faithful witness here in this community, that they would forever spread that unchanging gospel of yours and spread it to the lost around here. And Lord, you are faithful and you will deliver us from sin, but we need to allow you to live in our lives, Lord. And so thank you for living in our hearts. And thank you that we can be children of yours. It is such a privilege to be a child of yours. We just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.